Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I'm your host, Andy, and as always, we've got the crew here with us, Nick, Brian, Scott, Kelly. Say hey, everybody.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey. Scott has prepared a great trivia for us tonight, and before we get to that topic, we're going to jump right to our listener question of the week. Comes in from Devin, who reached out to us via Instagram. Devin wants to know, boys, what is your biggest pet peeve? Something that really gets under your skin. And it looks like Scott's ready to jump on the mic.
It's a great question for a bunch of middle-aged white men.
No, it is. I got about 50 I could rattle off, yep. So I'm going to try to narrow it down. I can't give one. I'll try to rapid fire maybe a couple. One is if you're in line at the grocery store or any kind of checkout situation and the person is on the phone having a conversation while also trying to do business with the poor cashier, it infuriates me to watch that transaction. Like, get off the phone.
They can't be bothered by simple transactions.
Are they like holding their phone or are they Bluetooth and they're like one of those guys?
Either way.
No, speakerphone's way better.
Or
way worse. Way worse.
Speakerphone is really bad. So I mean, it crawls under my skin. Obviously, you're not going to say anything, or maybe not. You're not going to say anything, but I want to. I want to rip the phone out and smash it. So,
real quick before we move on to your second one, who here has said something to someone at the grocery store because you thought they were talking to you, and then they have an earpiece in
no,
their ear?
No, never.
Nobody?
Never happened to me. Never.
Kelly, come on.
No.
Nothing?
No.
All right, never mind.
So it's happened to you?
Oh, like six times?
I've done it before, but it wasn't even an earpiece. I was on one side, couldn't tell they had the phone on the other side.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Thank you for admitting that.
I don't have that much of an ego where I think everybody's trying to talk to me.
All right, what else you got?
Well, I'll breeze past second one because I feel like everyone has this pet peeve. Maybe I'm wrong. Is when you're driving and the person's sitting in the left lane, right? I mean,
bad driving.
You know.
And going, not doing their job.
They're
of
not passing.
Going fast.
They're in no hurry to pass anybody. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to go past that one. Okay. Last one. People who use the word anyways.
Wow.
Now, this pet peeve is trivial now because this is actually a word. People have used it incorrectly for so long. It is now in the dictionary. Anyways is a word.
With the S.
With the, yeah. So anyway and anyways, it's the same meaning. And it infuriates me when people would say anyways, because literally the word anyway means you can go any way. It doesn't have to be plural. And it was a pet peeve.
The S.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's the S that is the pet peeve.
Anyways.
Anyway.
So now it's a word. So now it makes me even madder.
Right. Yes. Right.
Because you're
generally accepted now.
Permissible.
Is matter a word?
More mad?
More mad?
Matter.
Yeah. I don't know. Matter, maybe?
Matter, hatter.
Matter? No,
that's not right.
That kind of carries into one of my, would be, I guess, vocabulary, the way people use words, the word literally, the way it's being used now.
Yeah.
One that always sticks with me, and it's probably not that big of a deal, but when people use the word unique, but they say something like it is very unique, and it just bothers me because by definition, the word unique means one of a kind. So how is there levels of being one of a kind? How can something be more unique than something else? That always gets under my skin.
Interesting.
Always bugs me, and I have to bite my tongue not to correct people all the time because my wife says I shouldn't do that. So
nobody
that one bugs me.
Literally is really, it's a good one.
Oh, literally.
I was so embarrassed, I literally died.
It was literally like a million. No, it wasn't.
I don't think you know what that means.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
When they use literally, and they're using it wrong, and it, oh, that stuff will make my skin
literally the biggest sandwich.
Definitely with you on the driving, though. Yeah. And it's not even bad driving, it's the, they're not being courteous.
Inconsiderate driving.
Yeah. Inconsiderate driving. Yeah. That bugs me.
Yeah, no turn signals falls under
that
category.
It matches the phone at the checkout. It's inconsiderate. It just bothers me.
My last one bleeds over to Kelly. So my answer, I actually have Kelly's answer. His biggest pet peeve is he doesn't like people with pet peeves. I don't know anybody that would complain more about other people complaining than one of my best friends here, Kelly.
But I don't even complain about it.
But you just dislike it.
You're very passive aggressive about it.
You're always like, what do you care? What do you care?
Kelly, how do you feel about the word irregardless?
I don't like it.
Okay. So you have a pet peeve.
Yeah. So listeners, recently we saw a commercial, look it up, the Wendy's commercial, and this is why I'm bringing it up. It was a big deal this past weekend because the commercial shows a gentleman eating a burrito from the side, and we had a whole discussion about it, and Kelly was just adamant that, why do you care?
We were in the wrong. It was weird.
We were in the wrong for thinking somebody is weird.
I didn't think you were in the wrong, but why are you
being passive aggressive again?
Why are you complaining about it?
It's not a corn on the cob.
I'm bleeding it over to you now, Kelly, because I think that is your biggest pet peeve is leave everybody alone. Why do you care? Don't give a crap.
Gold jacket. Unless they're bothering you, why does it bother you?
Things can bother you. These keep me up at night. I'm not worried about it. I'm not changing the world, but it can still be like, that's weird, and I don't like it.
This is the same guy that thinks it's acceptable to eat a bowl of chili in August.
Oh, no, don't even get me started on
100%.
That. Come on, get out of here.
Eat a bowl of chili whenever you like chili? You like chili?
I love
you
chili.
Eat chili.
There's soup season.
There is a season.
There's a soup
I'm with
season.
I'm Kelly on this one.
Of course you will be. If it ends,
I revoke your doctor's status.
Do you ever eat food year round, but why is chili like you
can't
do that?
It's not just chili. It's hot soup items I only eat in months that end in ER or RY. How about that? There's my rules. It has to.
Do you drink coffee in the middle of summer?
It's not that. I am specific
I don't get
to
it. Do you eat ice cream in wintertime?
Of course. I mean, it's ice cream.
Yes.
Case closed.
I'm saying it's specific to soups. Yeah. Soup-like items.
Eating something
that's
hot
just for
on
me.
A hot day.
I don't think there's any other food that bothers me to eat year-round. Just that one. Okay.
I can tell you my pet peeve is going on for about 5 minutes now. When other people talk, it drives me crazy.
We are in the wrong business.
I do
business.
Not listen to people. I don't. They start talking and I just get annoyed and I lose concentration.
I feel like that might be a queen or family trait.
Though. Yeah.
I do have one. There, and there. And you're and your.
Yeah.
Oh, just the misspelling of it?
The misspelling of it? Texting? Well, I mean, if you're talking, obviously, can't tell. People usually use it in the right context.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I see it misspelled, I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. And even when they're corrected, right? I'll associate the same thing with saying words incorrectly. Frustrating is one you hear on a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah. You know, ideal. For idea,
supposedly.
Supposedly.
How about the South? Idea. Yeah. R in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those, that's the equivalent of spelling something incorrectly, but even when you're corrected, you know, who wants to be that guy?
I'm off my soapbox.
So I got one that's a little more serious, and it's to me, well, there's two of them actually, the height of rudeness, and they're both pretty common. One of them is just interrupting someone when they're talking. Go ahead, somebody interrupt.
I was about to.
Okay, well, while I'm getting ready for number two, go ahead and throw it in there.
Shout out to my wife. Shout out to my wife.
And tardiness is a really big deal for me to the point where an appointment, I will literally show up 15 minutes early and sit in the parking lot for 10 minutes to make sure I am not late.
The correct way to use literally.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
I will literally show up a decade ahead of time. Literally.
A guy we know has been doing that quite frequently.
Tardiness is not,
Andy hates you.
Okay.
Scott,
I'm glad we're having this conversation because I want to
really
put it on public record. I used to be a very timely person.
We know.
And then I started hanging out with certain people, Kelly and Brian.
Nice head nod.
And say, hey, we're going to meet at the bar at 8 o'clock. I would be there at 8 o'clock. They would get there 8:20, 8:30. And then I learned over time, 8 doesn't mean 8.
It does mean
8:30.
I'm an adult. It means 8 to me.
So yeah. I've applied that. Well, we're going back 20 plus years here.
Sure.
And I've just never auto-corrected that.
But there are different things where you need to be timely. If we go to the game, I'm there at 4 whenever we meet.
Sure.
If we're at the bar, I'm like, what are you waiting for? You're going to sit there and have a beer. I don't need to be there at 8.
You changed the doctor.
You did.
You changed him.
Wow.
Changed my behavior. Behavior modification.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Anybody else? One final thought on pet peeves, the one that we hadn't discussed yet.
I think
animals dressed as humans. I can't stand it when you put clothes on a dog.
I'm with you.
Hate it. Yes. All right. Agreed. Well, thanks, Devin, for reaching out. Please reach out to us if you have a question you'd like the crew to answer. You can find us on our email at theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com and pretty much all the socials, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, yada, yada, yada. All right. We ready for some trivia, fellas?
I am.
In today's episode, we will be attempting to answer questions about our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
I'm so screwed.
Sweating a little.
I am done.
I took a recent trip there, and that's what inspired this.
Oh,
we already did this.
Repeat. Well, Washington, D.C. is a vibrant city steeped in history and political significance, known for its iconic landmarks such as the White House, the U.S. Capitol, and the Lincoln Memorial. The city serves as the heart of American governance and democracy. Beyond politics, D.C. boasts a rich cultural scene with renowned museums like the Smithsonian Institute, diverse neighborhoods, and a dynamic arts community. Washington, D.C. attracts millions of visitors each year as tourists seek to discover the city's unique blend of history, culture, and civic pride.
No, I'm really done for now. You just listed off like the only things I probably knew were in Washington, D.C.
Right.
In the synopsis.
They're not going to be part of the answers now, are they?
I am done.
Brian, are you annoyed with me for having spoken?
No. It's usually females. Sorry, guys.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little nervous. What do you say we bear down? Get a little trivia going. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on Washington, D.C., hosted this week by Dr. Scott. Here's how it works. Scott will read the questions. We'll all write the answers on our whiteboards. When Scott says reveal, we'll show our answers, and if we get it right, we get a point. If we don't, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of these. Scotty's ready, I'm sure, with the quick ones. Take it away, Doc.
All right, I got my insult bag ready to roll tonight, so...
So it's not fair, though. You were just there.
Well, before we begin, I do want to mention that today's trivia was written by my lovely wife, Cindy.
Hey, shout out. I like it.
Thanks, Cindy.
So feel free to direct all of your complaints and compliments to her.
The same person that thought our show was a bit too easy.
Yes,
we let her write an episode. Reason.
Yeah, she's turning it up a notch.
Good Lord.
I'm going to put my complaints in your mailbox.
I did my best to vet these, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But I did fact check them. And let's get down to it with question number one. Washington, D.C. sits on the banks of what body of water?
Oh, man. It's right there. I got it. Hold on. Oh, my gosh.
Our nation's capital. sits on the banks of what body of water?
I'm so bad at this. This is going to be terrible. I wrote a name.
I don't know if that's how you spell it. I don't think it's even right.
You know, spelling doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm going to embarrass myself.
Nick, did you write something down?
I wrote something down.
Because you're talking a lot. Okay, let's reveal. Nick with Potomac. Andy, Brian... with Potomac, but Kelly wrote Chesapeake Bay, which is not correct because Potomac River is correct.
Oh, thank goodness.
Your mouth.
I was trying to think of Chesapeake Bay, so I got it right by accident.
Not too far away, so you're on the right track.
Wow.
How did you spell that, Nick?
I think there was like a Z in there.
There's an R in there?
I don't know. The Z was silent.
It's a soft J.
It probably looked more like Pontiac.
Right.
It's the Native American word for I wasn't sure.
Bravo. Bravo to the doctor for figuring out what we wrote there.
Yeah. I sounded it out. It made sense.
Well, government leaders were eager to find a permanent, centrally located federal city by passing the Residence Act, officially appointing the future site of the nation's capital and seat of our government to be established along the Potomac River. The river is an ideal location because it has easy access to Chesapeake Bay, which connects to the Atlantic Ocean, accommodating both maritime trade while also being geographically protected and defendable.
Nice.
Hmm.
The Potomac Bay.
Mm. I don't know how I came up with that.
Well done, gentlemen.
Yeah.
See? Perfect score so far.
Good start.
Stop the trivia.
That's right.
I'm going to walk out now. I'm leaving on a high
note. That's right, like George.
Okay. Question number two. What tree imported from Japan is at the center of a Washington, D.C. spring festival?
This one I got.
Looking for the name of a tree. What tree imported from Japan is at the center of a Washington, D.C. spring festival?
I think I have it, but I don't want to add anything.
Okay.
So...
okay. I don't really know what that means. You don't want to add any color conversation to it?
No, I can't because I think I might give something.
Yeah, no, I get that.
No, yeah, don't give any hints away. But yeah,
this is going to be a tight one, I have a feeling, on the low end.
Brian's fervently writing down something. It looks like he has an answer.
No idea.
So let's reveal. Kelly with cherry, Brian with apple, Andy cherry, Nick with bonsai. Correct answer is the cherry tree.
Dang it. That was my first
Karate
guess.
Kid was filmed,
it
by
was.
The way.
So, that was my first. Wow.
If I wrote cherry blossom, would that have been accepted?
Ooh. Yes.
It is a cherry blossom festival, dang, if I recall.
Yeah. Cherry's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Mm. Not apple.
Not apple.
Wow. And I just switched to apple because, you know, the
Johnny.
Washington. Isn't there a story with the apple tree or something?
Johnny Appleseed.
I did not chop the apple.
I thought that was a cherry tree too. I thought that was the whole point.
Yeah.
Right?
It was being a cherry honest. Tree.
Yeah.
I think so.
I had nothing on that. The only tree I could think of was a bonsai tree coming from Japan. I don't know.
Not a lot of oaks over there.
Bonsai. Why would you have to import an oak? I feel like bonsai. That's a banger, you know?
Has anybody else been to DC other than Scott and I?
I've been there.
Have you? You been there during the cherry blossom?
No.
Yeah. So it's supposed to like be like snow. I wasn't there at that time either, but it's supposed to be pretty cool.
The dynamite dropping.
Thank you. Well, I will schedule us a guy's trip there, stat.
Man.
There you go.
Ryan, you seem edgy tonight.
Yeah, you're a little on it.
A little edgy. Cranky. Little edgy. And I don't
cranky
like it.
Frankie.
Cranky Frankie. Yes. Being a bit of a cranky Frankie.
Sorry, that's an inside joke.
Well, tell us about the stupid cherry tree.
Oh, keep it short.
Okay, I'll do my best. The National Cherry Blossom Festival commemorates the 1912 gift of friendship, this is funny, from the people of Japan to the people of the U.S. with the planting of 3,000 cherry trees. On average, peak bloom occurs between the last week of March and the first week of April, but the dates change year to year, not surprisingly.
Just think of how we repaid them.
Decades later. Right.
Really solidified the bond, trees. Didn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
About 30 years
cherry
earlier.
Cherry bomb.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, nice. Well done.
Yep.
I'll give you that.
Too soon. Too soon, actually.
All right. We're going to pivot with question number three. In what arena did the Washington Capitals hockey team play prior to moving into the Verizon Center?
What?
And this should be known?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tell me.
Somebody knows it.
Someone took a bus tour.
Yeah.
Read it one more time.
Are you still going to complain about it if I read it?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
In what arena did the Washington Capitals hockey team play prior to moving into the Verizon Center? So... currently, they're in the Verizon Center. Where did they play before that?
Am I allowed to ask when that building was built?
The original?
The new one.
Oh.
Oh, the new one? 97. Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
No, it's just
no, in no way. No way to inform.
I really don't care.
Yeah. I can't think of... I mean, there are stadiums out there that the name resonates with you, but I can't think of anything that has to do with Washington, D.C. Right. that resonates.
You guys are sports fans, right? I'm just double checking.
Not as big on hockey, so though.
Brian is.
You're big on hockey, Brian.
I don't know the names of the state.
Not from 96 anyway, right?
No. Do we all have an answer?
I am ready.
We call what you called that.
All right, let's reveal. Nick with Capital Arena.
Nice.
Andy with Capital Arena. Brian,
what is
Brian with Capital Arena. And Kelly with Capital Center.
Leave it to Kelly to be silent.
The correct answer is the Capital Center.
Oh,
you,
my
you said arena in the question. It said arena.
It is called an arena, yes.
So we all get it.
We should all. I mean, that's why I put Capital Arena. I was just going to write Capital, but arena, you said arena.
Are you kidding me?
I don't. Kelly, no, what it's worth, I would stand to benefit from this, and I disagree that we should get the point.
Okay. No, it's fine, but that's why I wrote arena. Actually, I was just going to write Capital.
Read the question
again.
Would Capital work? Because I was just going to write Capital. But
read the question again.
And what arena did the Washington
Capital? Yeah, Capital Arena. Yeah, you got it. So everybody gets the point.
It's a football stadium, but it's Lambeau Field.
I said Kelly gets it because he was the only one that hit it exactly the nail on the head. It was called the Capital Center. I agree with that. Kelly gets it for sure.
Okay. Fair.
Nick's the score. Nick's the score.
I'm the scorekeeper. I'm giving it to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'm just impressed we all got Capital in there.
Oh, well, there's Capital City.
I am too. Yeah.
I'm unimpressed with the category. This whole scam you got running here, but whatever.
Well, good. It's a short write-up, so we can move past it. But located in Landover, Maryland, the Capital Center served as the team's home from the year they were founded in 1974 until 1997. The move to the Verizon Center marked a significant upgrade in facilities and brought the team closer to downtown D.C., enhancing its accessibility to fans.
You know, is the Verizon Center an arena? Or is
it probably.
Is it an arena?
Well, okay.
They're all arenas.
We can certainly associate that with here in St. Louis, where the Blues played at, simply named The Arena forever.
Yeah.
Right? When did the naming rights become a popular thing even in the NHL? Probably around that time, I'd imagine.
I mean, there's been naming rights for a long time, but it wasn't usually named after necessarily a company.
Yeah,
there was. But, I mean, I don't even recall even the name Capital Center ringing much of a bell to me right now. But
I did.
Sports usually suck in Washington,
D.C. Did the Bullets play there, perchance?
Oh,
maybe that's why it's deep in Kelly's brain there.
Yeah,
I just remember hearing it, and I can't place it.
Well, good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Good on you.
He's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to question number 4. During the War of 1812, the British set fire to a number of U.S. public buildings, most notably the White House. What priceless work of art did First Lady Dolly Madison save from the White House?
Wow. Good question. And this is a really good question.
I will accept just a general description of what I'm talking about.
What year?
War of 1812. So during the War of 1812, the British set fire to a number of U.S. public buildings, most notably the White House. What priceless work of art did First Lady Dolly Madison save from the White House?
Good old Dolly. All right.
Nick wrote down something.
Wild guess.
Andy has
threw a dart.
Brian has something. Kelly is ready to roll. Let's reveal, starting with Nick this time. Portrait of George Washington, painting of George Washington.
Nick, we
from
are
Andy.
Sharing a brain tonight.
Yeah.
Brian has a George Washington picture, and Kelly has George Washington crossing of the Delaware. Correct answer is George Washington's portrait.
Oh, right.
Assuming I get credit.
I saw yours.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I can't say that on the air, Brian.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
We are PG-13.
Are we 13 now?
Yeah, we Nick and I decided that last
time. I got some things to say there.
Yeah,
the official title is Gilbert Stuart's Lansdowne Portrait.
Hmm.
I said I'll take a description.
Did you see this painting on your tour of the White House?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't know where it's located there.
Interesting.
So it saved it completely? I thought, isn't there a Washington one that's like halfway, like burned off partially or something like that?
No,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I saw it. I don't remember seeing it. You feel like it would stand out.
I agree. I think.
But there were literally rooms where it's nothing but portraits. So
of presidents? Are they always
a variety of things, yeah. Oh. So there's a room of nothing but statues. So it's hard to say I saw such and such a statue.
Good shot in the dark on my part.
Nice job, Nick.
I'll take it.
All right. Well, as British troops invaded the capital city, Dolly Madison instructed staff and a 15-year-old enslaved man, Paul Jennings, to remove the painting from the White House dining room. However, the portrait's frame being bolted to the wall made it difficult for a hasty removal. Therefore, she ordered the portrait's frame to be broken apart, and a knife was used to cut the painting out. Two Madison family friends took the rolled-up painting away for safekeeping.
Wow. That is dedication.
Dedication, for real. Patriotism right there.
It's different back then, though. You can't just, you know, reproduce a copy of that.
Oh, today, they would just snap a picture with their phone. Right. Best I can do. That's
right. All right. Well, let's do question five, which will bring us to the halfway point and put some of you out of your misery. What president allowed his six children to have a slew of exotic pets while living in the White House?
Oh, I feel like I've heard this fact before. Six
children. What president allowed his six children to have a slew of exotic pets while living in the White House? Andy's writing. Mm-hmm. Nick is thinking.
That's the sound of me checking out.
Brian's checking out with a nice cold Brian. One.
Be careful.
Kelly, did you write something down? He did.
I did.
Andy, are you changing your answer?
No. Just rewriting it in a more formal way.
I got no idea.
All right. Nick wrote something down.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving his commentary like we care. So let's reveal. Nick wrote Taft, Andy with Kennedy, Brian with number 22, and Kelly with Teddy Roosevelt.
Is Kelly right?
If you think it through a little bit, you would get to the correct answer, which is Theodore Roosevelt.
I was thinking Roosevelt.
You're right.
Too.
I never got there. But
was he number 22?
Total sense.
Was he number 22?
We'd have to find it out.
I was thinking about putting down. Damn it.
Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was the outdoorsy.
Yeah, right? After the sense. U.S. National Parks episode, okay. You'd think that I would have connected those dots. Good job, Kelly.
Informed decision.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
educated guess.
Cleveland.
I guess you will.
Cleveland was 22.
Yeah. Okay.
And 24.
No.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, president.
Man, showing off.
I didn't know that until you said 22. It just popped in.
President Roosevelt's kids turned the White House into a menagerie. They had common pets such as dogs, cats, guinea pigs, and a rabbit. But it didn't stop there. In typical Teddy go big or go home fashion, they also had unusual pets like a large blue macaw, a badger, a small bear, a hyena, and a one-legged rooster, just to name a few.
A bear?
A small bear, yep.
Obviously.
Yeah. And a hyena. Duh.
I don't know.
Wandering
a bear
around
and a hyena.
The lawn.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty wild.
And
though,
how long that rooster lasts with those two around.
You're right.
One leg, especially.
And these were the kids.
When they left, they had four children.
Right. Yeah. That's terrible.
Just saying. What?
All right. Well, we are halfway through this one. Nick, how are we looking?
Well, we have actually a pretty tight race. Andy and Kelly are in first with three. Well done. I have two, and Brian has one.
Good job, Brian.
Stare me all you want. That's shame.
Waiting
me at all.
For a reaction.
Oh, I'm not shaming you at all. I'm lucky I have two. It's all luck at this point.
Well, question number six takes us to the movies, which we all claim is in our wheelhouse. So here we go. What is the only movie that was given rights to film a scene not just around the National Mall's reflecting pool, but in the National Mall's reflecting pool?
Easy.
What is the only movie that was given rights to film a scene not just around the National Mall's reflecting pool, but in the National Mall's reflecting pool?
I feel pretty confident.
You better.
I do.
Really?
This is 4-for-4.
You know?
Oh. Yep. I have a guess.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody has something written down,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
So let's reveal. We have Forrest Gump all the way around, and that is the correct answer.
Second. Yeah.
Great movie. Very good movie.
Tom Hanks' coming out party.
What?
What?
I think
coming out party. Back up.
He had awards before that, didn't he?
Didn't he win back-to-back Oscars? Philadelphia? Okay.
Philadelphia was probably his coming out party.
Or was Forrest Gump the second one, yeah.
Yeah. Forrest Gump was the second one. Philadelphia was his real coming out
party. But
he already
had good movies before
that. Dramatic actor. But yeah. Forrest Gump.
You guys didn't see Big? Money Pit?
Bosom Buddies. I didn't say it was even his best movie.
Bosom Buddies and Bachelor Party might have been his coming out
party. The
Burbs. There you go.
Splash.
Show versus the Volcano.
I like Splash.
There's a tons of good ones.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. Forrest Park. He was a comedic actor for a long time.
Did you say Forrest Park?
He did. Yeah.
Did I say Forrest Park? Yeah.
That's actually in St. Louis.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Whoops. No, Philadelphia was his dramatic coming out party. He was a comedic actor before that.
Sure.
And all those movies are fantastic. You're not going to get an argument out of me.
No.
But Forrest Gump, I almost said it again.
Yeah.
Really did, I think, solidify him in the Hall of Fame.
Andy's like a box of chocolate. You never know what he's going to say.
That's good.
Well, according to the American Film Institute catalog website, to recreate the anti-war demonstration, 1,500 extras were employed. And for the first time ever, filmmakers were granted access to shoot in the reflecting pool by the National Park Service and the city of Washington, D.C. Actress Robin Wright described the water as very, very, very dirty and does not recommend getting in it.
Gross.
Wow. Not treated. Not a lot of
chlorine in there.
Chlorine.
Not much of a pool, no, you would say.
Not adding alkaline.
Pond be good for you. Yeah, one of those. Okay.
All right. Well, you guys are hanging in there. Let's move on to question 7. From the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, what year did Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his famous I Have a Dream speech?
To the board quick.
Yeah, then I paused.
All right. Oh, man.
So, delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, what year did Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his famous I Have a Dream speech?
I don't want to say anything to give anything away.
Feel free.
From an era.
Nick looks like he's having a nightmare over there. You wrote something down. Andy's got something. Kelly's thinking. Brian's got board in the air at the ready.
They had the first two digits of the year, right?
That a boy.
That's right.
Well, I'd hope you get the first three.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, good. Give Kelly a 5 count. So write a year down.
Is he sleeping? That's some deep thinking.
Count it down, Scott.
5, 4, 3, put a year down. Okay, we got something. All right, gentlemen, let's reveal. Nick with 1960, Andy with 1964, Brian with 1963, Kelly with 1968. Correct answer is 1963.
Oh, that way, B.
Good job.
I was going to do a 3 with dots to connect the 8.
I think he was assassinated in 68.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, no, I put 64 down.
No, you did.
Yeah, if you haven't been, the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee is amazing.
Oh, nice.
It's fantastic. It really is.
So did you actually know the year? Was that a guess for you?
No, I knew the
year. He knew.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where he got shot with the Lorraine Motel, I believe. And you can look into the room, like sheets still pulled back, Bible out, cigarettes in the ashtray.
Wow.
Like the scene.
Goosebumps.
Left it untouched.
Goosebumps. Wow. It's really
cool. Yeah, that's
cool.
Wicked.
It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. They left it untouched.
Yep.
Well, delivered in front of 250,000 people, no other speech in history has influenced the U.S. federal government to pass more landmark anti-discrimination laws, such as the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the Civil Rights Act of 1968. The lasting effects of this speech are unmeasurable. Yes, we still have work to do, but Dr. King gave the underserved, underrepresented, and underestimated people permission to dare to dream.
A legend.
Not a lot of funny stuff you can say when about a question
when
like
you
that.
Get into civil rights.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of jokes that are on the table for
no.
us.
Good job, Dr. King.
Yeah, good job.
All right, let's move on to question number 8. After inheriting the presidency, upon the death of the longest-serving president in U.S. history, this president had the entire interior of the White House gutted and rebuilt.
Wow, that is another solid trivia question.
So after inheriting the presidency upon the death of this longest-serving U.S. president, this president had the entire interior of the White House gutted and rebuilt.
All right.
I believe, well, waiting on Kelly again.
Classic.
Okay. I think everyone has an answer.
Sure.
Nobody's Let's reveal. Nick with Garfield. Andy with Grover Cleveland. Brian with John Adams. Kelly with LBJ. We do not have a correct answer. The answer is Harry Truman.
Harry Truman.
Who,
Missourian.
So the longest serving president in U.S. history is FDR. FDR.
Yeah.
I just had.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Tried to put a clue in there that thought it might help even if you have no idea about the question.
Right.
Itself.
Yeah.
If you knew who followed FDR,
yeah,
you would know.
That was my problem.
That's the hard part.
I didn't know who it was.
Okay. It was World War II. You might want to read up on
three terms.
Well, in 1948, after a piano leg broke through the second floor of the White House, a complete structural evaluation discovered that the White House was on the verge of collapse. Between 48 and 1952, Truman oversaw what would become the largest ever White House renovation. The exterior sandstone shell is the only part that is original to the White House, constructed 2 centuries ago.
Wow. Probably,
well, we're mudding our way through this.
Probably the largest reconstruction of the world, too, because of him.
Yeah. That's true. Good call.
Well said.
Nice. Nice.
Well, we're 8 questions in, which means we're due for a score check with Nick.
Well, not a lot has changed.
Okay.
Because I think Brian's the only one that's scored anything this on the second half so far.
Good
so
job, Brian.
Kelly and Andy are still in the lead with 4, and Brian and I are nipping at their heels with 3 each.
Oh, boy.
Tough so it's race. A tough, tough race.
I like it.
Yeah.
Tough race.
Doesn't matter the final. It just matters if you win.
That's right.
Well, we're going easy on you with question 9. Oh, it is multiple choice.
Okay. I hate that.
Oh, wow.
It's easy.
I don't know if the question is easy, but at least gives you a shot.
Fair enough.
The iconic dome of the U.S. Capitol building is made from what high-strength, fireproof material? Is it A, cast iron, B, stone, C, steel, D, concrete? The iconic dome of the U.S. Capitol building is made from what high-strength, fireproof material? Is it cast iron, stone, steel, or concrete?
You could have given me 10 guesses, and I don't think I would have guessed any of the, well, at least 3 of the 4 of those.
You would
in my top 10. I would.
Pretty sure I would have said Samsonite.
Yeah. Knew it started with an S, though.
A rotary gooter. All right. Do we all have an answer?
Sure.
Yep. Great. I'm ready.
Let's reveal. Kelly went with stone. So did Brian. Andy went with cast iron, and Nick went with concrete. We do have a correct answer, and it is cast iron.
All right, baby.
Nice.
Man, can you imagine how heavy that thing is?
Mm-hmm.
That's bananas.
Nope, it's cast iron.
Yeah. It'd be much lighter if it was made from bananas.
Well, Brian, you and I are out of it now.
Yep.
Wrap
it up.
Moving along.
Make it quick.
Let's hear about this cast iron.
Don't you want to know about that?
I know.
I know. Okay. He might want to.
Okay.
I could care less.
The Capitol's dome used cast iron extensively for both decorative and structural elements, weighing in at 8,909,200 pounds.
Wow.
Improvements in furnace technology gave the casting process the ability to mass produce identical parts quickly. It also allowed load-bearing items to be thinner, lighter, and more ornamental without compromising its strength. It was a popular building material in the 19th century until steel became more available.
Cool.
I dig it.
Amazing.
I like cast iron.
You have blown Brian away.
Well, 2 gentlemen are still fighting for victory here as we get into question number 10.
Bring it.
After John Wilkes Booth shot President Lincoln at Ford's Theater, he jumped from the presidential box down to the theater stage. As he jumped, what boot accessory did Booth get caught in the flag that draped the front of the box?
Oh, man. Wait. One more time?
Yeah, that's got a lot of info going.
After John Wilkes Booth shot President Lincoln, at Ford's Theater in D.C., he jumped from the presidential box down to the theater stage below. As he jumped, what boot accessory did Booth get caught in the flag that draped the front of the box?
Okay. Kelly, how you feeling over there, buddy?
I have two boot accessories in my pocket.
I thought you were going with Woody Yell.
You're a big boot guy.
That's where I thought you were going, though. That's why I probably didn't hear the first. I thought he was going with Woody Yell.
You say that like with a lot of confidence.
Oh, I have no clue what the answer is. I just need to know if you know what the answer is. I have the benefit of the lead.
I'm going to go with a tie game.
Okay. Right. I like it.
All right.
Are you guys tied right now?
Easy, guys.
I got a one-point lead.
Yes. Okay. Looks like you all have an answer, so let's figure this out. Reveal. We have buckle from Nick, shoelaces from Andy, buckle, and Kelly with buckle. We do not have a correct
answer. Oh, is it the heel of his boot?
It's a boot spur.
Oh, spur. I didn't think about that.
I didn't either.
Should have known that. He's going to jump on a horse afterwards.
I don't think shoelaces existed back then, even, so I'm way out.
That's a great idea.
He was jumping on a horse afterwards.
I like that.
The spur makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes sense it would get caught on a flag.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
Well, I think we know who the winner is, but let me go ahead and tell you about this. Booth broke his left fibula sometime between the assassination and arriving at the Surratt Tavern later that night. According to eyewitnesses, Booth fell awkwardly onto the stage, suggesting that is when he broke his leg. However, Booth told two co-conspirators that he hurt his leg in a horse accident. However, most historians agree the break happened in the theater simply because Booth wrote in his diary, "In jumping, broke my leg."
Well, pretty clear indicator.
Yeah, that'll give it away.
What did he yell when he jumped?
Say Semper Tyrannis, something like
that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's something. Yeah,
death to tyrants is what it means. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Death to tyrants.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty good show. What is it called? Manhunt.
Oh, I watched
on Apple TV.
Fantastic.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's all about the days following.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
The assassination. I was going to say attempt, but we all know it ended up working out.
Did he die?
I'm told he did. I don't know if it's a multiple choice. But yeah, but that's actually a pretty decent show.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it.
I dig it.
I like history. It was very good.
My score doesn't reflect that how much I like history.
No, it doesn't either, but you know, whatever.
Well, you guys survived at least these 10 questions. Nick, what is the final tally?
The final tally. Brian and I are tied with 3 and in third. Kelly, second place with 4. And Andrew, congratulations. Mm. 5 correct answers.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
Even though you guessed shoelaces as far as the boot accessory.
Yeah, I do deserve a -1 on that one, actually.
A little bit.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's right. Well, are you excited for your tiebreaker, Doc?
No.
Okay.
It's actually it's more of a humbling question, kind of going back to one of the previous things.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have to revisit that.
Right, yeah. Well, congratulations to Andy.
Thank you.
I feel like he wins when he doesn't host. So
there seems to be a theme.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah. All right. So thank you very much, Doctor. That was, you'll have to thank Cindy for humbling all of us, of course. But a lot of fun. Anyway, that moves us to our bonus question, our topic-specific question designed to get us talking again. So here we go. Today's trivia was inspired by a recent vacation for the Queeners to go to Washington, D.C. The question is pretty simple. What is your #1 location that you would like to visit? And tell us why. Brian, I'm going to fire it off with you.
That's a tough question.
Yeah. Well, think it through. There's got to be, you know, 3 or 4 that you daydream about, maybe.
There's a handful, yeah. So to narrow it down to 1, though, is very tough.
Okay.
The first thing that popped in my head, I'll go with that, I guess. Scotland.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like the Highlands.
Yep. I'd like to go to Scotland.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Yeah. One reason is my favorite movie is Braveheart.
Yeah.
But also, I love castles. And I'd love to go to some of those historic castles over there.
We have that in common.
Yeah, I do.
I'd love to spend the night in an old castle. Whoops.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the first thing that pops in my head. But there's a lot of locales I would like to go. But
You want to rattle a couple off? Any come to mind immediately?
Oh, where do you want me to start?
Just where, whatever. The next two that come to your mind.
Well, for one, there's some in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'd still like to go to Yellowstone.
Nice.
I'd still like to go more places up northeast and travel. Okay. Nothing in particular, just more spots. I've been up that way, but I'd like to go to more. But then you go overseas, I'd like to see Germany. I'd like to see Ireland. So, yeah, there's a lot of spots.
Oh,
in New Zealand. I mean, there's, you know, several. But Scotland is the first thing that pops in my head.
Do you want to go looking at leaves and changing in Vermont in the fall with me?
I do.
Okay.
Because it's amazing. Because I was in,
I don't know what that
I was
is.
In New England in October, and it was fantastic.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Yeah, we're, that's cool. Massachusetts. I think we might have touched New Hampshire. I can't remember, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. Cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's up next?
I have several on the list.
Sure.
I mean, I have a list. Most recently, I've been infatuated with going to Machu Picchu, just going, doing that, doing the tour of the ruins, the pyramids, Egypt, Nile tour, doing something like that. And then Austria, see the mountains. Have you ever seen pictures of that area? I mean, it's just majestic.
Yeah,
sure. I don't know how else to describe it, but.
My dad was there, saw the Alps and all that kind of stuff, and he said it's like, you're looking at it and you don't believe it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like CGI.
Got it.
Yeah. Real. He's like, it's hard to believe it's real. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was there when I was a baby, but I don't remember.
My wife studied there for 3 months or whatever when she was in college. She's
where?
An art history major in Austria.
I didn't know that.
Learning this.
Yeah. Well, we've been married for 150 years. I don't know if I knew you guys.
Literally?
Literally.
We knew you.
I'd love to jump back in, though. I'd also like to do like a World War II tour. Like Normandy, like where big events happen.
Yeah.
I would love to see that too.
Yeah,
concentration camp. I'm a big World War II.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
I dig it. Yeah. Nick,
so,
what do you got?
I mean, luckily my military career took me to many different countries. So as far as ones I have not, I've been to Europe, but there's still many places I want to check out. Is like when you said World War II, like, I mean, almost anywhere you're going to find something World War II,
and it's
awesome.
Absolutely.
I've been places that are tropical and things like that. So I've never been to Australia, so that's on my list. Mm-hmm. You said Egypt, definitely, because I've been places that are hot, desert-like, but I'd like to go to Egypt. And I don't know, it just, like, I want to see it, not really hang out there, but like Antarctica, like a world that is unlike anything I have ever experienced. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, to kind of, like I said, I don't want to spend the weekend there or anything like that, and really, but just to experience what it is like in a place that is so desolate.
It's the smartest continent in the world because there's only scientists living there.
That's right.
Well, that and that's untouched.
Yes.
So much untouched.
Well, except for the aliens before us and everything else, you know, but I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. There's conspiracy theories that there that like we have people in Antarctica because there is stuff in the ice. That we need to get our hands on.
Like WitWiki?
Transformers? Something like that, yeah. Like the Transformers, the glasses.
I was thinking Captain America. You know, whatever.
National treasure.
But yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Good one.
So, but yeah, I think Egypt, I mean, of the ones I really listed, really want to check. Egypt would be up there.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Doc, you checked one off the list here recently.
Right. I'm going to go with Tupelo, Mississippi. No, shout out to our listeners in Tupelo.
Yeah,
all of you.
New Zealand is number one.
Walk the Shire.
Yep. Germany, a close second. I've been to Australia. We have family there, so I'm hoping the next time we go, we're talking about trying to make that trip because it's 4-hour flight or whatever. So definitely on my bucket list, but hopefully be crossing off Germany here in a few years.
Yeah, that's a plan for the crew, in fact.
Euro trip.
Had a plan. We put a plan in place years and years ago, and we've been saving, and inflation seems to be outpacing our investments.
We need to talk to our investment.
Yeah, guys, I know.
But we can go to Tupelo right now.
We could.
Tupelo's doable.
How about the Capitol Center in Washington?
Yeah, right.
The arena?
The arena, right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I have two. One is very specific. One is very broad. I've had a great fortune to travel quite a bit in my life. New Zealand, Australia, Hawaii,
Detroit.
All over the country. What'd you say, Detroit?
Indiana.
Actually,
nice.
Never been
Indiana's
to
great.
Indiana.
This time of year.
I have not done anything in Europe. And the allure of Europe for me, other than going to watch a soccer game because I am a rabid European football fan, is just to see history. Castles, Brian. Yes. We absolutely have that in common.
Yep, love
Scott, Scottish Highlands, Ireland, Germany, Zermatt, you know, at the base of the Matterhorn in Switzerland. That's probably a top three for me. The other one is more specific, but that is just deep into Alaska, just in the super backwoods, one of those deals where you can only get out by plane, and if you happen to twist your ankle, you're probably going to die there. I don't know. There's something really appealing about that to me.
I go with you.
Nature is stupid, according to – I know you will.
It still is.
So that's how that's how I daydream about my trip.
You can make it in Alaska if you can hunt, I think, is what I've heard.
Well, and I'm working on that.
Okay.
I'm currently just a watcher. I don't actually have an harvest.
Push that trip back a couple of years.
Yeah, we're
screwed.
Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and your bellies laughing.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Dude, that is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can get one yourself. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Where do you get that?
We got a merch store. You can find the link on our website. We partnered with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned custom apparel shop, and they've created a whole store for us. Doc, didn't you use this for your daughter's soccer team?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they have no minimum order. So if I just need to buy a couple shirts, don't have to worry. It's not going to cost me anything extra.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Check them out yourself. You got a small business like we do or a sports program, you want some custom apparel, check out warriorlogowear.com, and they'll get you all hooked up.